What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hello, Anna.
Hi, Shireen.
Anna. Today you're Anna.
Okay.
It makes sense in my head when I said that. Anyway, we have a very special guest with us today. It was a friend referral, which I always love. I love someone who's referred to us because I know they're already good. But we have filmmaker and writer. I want you to say his name, though, because again, I'll do this again in the podcast. But I like the way Anna says the Persian flair. So take it away.
We are joined by Farhan Moradi, filmmaker extraordinaire.
Beautiful. And it's a great chat. Anna and Farhan really nerd out about being Persian. I let them have it. It's lovely to be an observer to that. And we just talk about the film and his life. And yeah, it's a fascinating conversation. You'll love it.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Shireen.
Yeah, we were just talking about how hot it is today, like we do at the start of every podcast recently.
Yeah, it's a stunner. I don't even know what that means. I don't know. It's so hot, my brain doesn't work anymore. And and it's only going to get hotter. It's really great to live through a time where you can like fathom the end of the world.
Yeah. I always think about how we're in that chunk of time in a history book where it was like from this year things were absolute shit, and that's the little gap that's where we are right now, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you hear about the fucking like Great Depression, it's just like a span of time. It's like, oh, we're in that terrible gap that we always look over. But anyway, we
have
a guest with us today. I don't want to make him wait any longer than he already has, but a very good friend of the show, Alec Miracle. Don't think that's what he goes by forever, but that's how I know him, because that's his name on the internet, and we really appreciate you. Me and Anna met him in Chicago when we did our live show. Just a very good friend of the pod. He referred us to the guest that we have today, and I'm very excited to talk to him. So I want Anna to say his name so she can give it a Persian twist. So take it away.
We are joined by filmmaker Farhan Moradi. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for making time.
I knew a Moradi back in my day from my youth.
What is back in your day? Oh, your youth.
I don't know. I still know her technically. I just, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I like to say that, like, oh, yeah. I know, Emoradi. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I knew Emoradi. But California Moradi. Do you have any California Moradis in your family?
No. Well, I have a Moradi Pur in San Francisco, which is my real last name.
Moradi
Pur. I shortened it. Yeah, I shortened it because it's a little easier to remember, easier to spell.
For Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, it's my Hollywood name.
Yeah.
It's your Moradi. I mean, Moradi Pur. You know what? That's interesting. A lot of Persian last names are, they keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I used to, you know, I'm Ana Hosnia now, but my family in Iran is Hosseinie, but there was just so many IEs in there that they decided when my dad came to America, he just like dropped a few IEs in there.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. So when I'm in Iran, they call me Hosseinie, but you know, I'm technically a Hosseinie, but my dad was like, God,
that's so interesting.
So he just
It could have been worse Hosnia. If you were like a Hosseinie Purali Zade.
It just Hakemi, keeps going.
And yeah. You're like, whoa, what is...
Yeah.
Some of the actors in our film had names like that. And I would see their names and I'm like, this isn't a Persian name. Like, oh, my real name is like Pur Ahmad Zade Khani. And you're like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. They keep going. Yeah, but actually, surprisingly... My mom's last name, also, you know, full Persh. Her last name is just Babek.
I love your mom's last name. It's so cute to me.
Isn't that just weird? But her first name goes on and on and on. But last name, we're always going like, why? What is the odds that you just got the one Babek? Which, if you guys don't know, he was a bit of like a soldier warrior, the Babek, the king prince boy. I don't even know anymore.
Interesting.
That was some half-ass history.
It's also kebab backwards, so
yeah.
A little fun fact.
Oh my God. Oh my God, it is. Thank you for that.
I just Googled it. There's a Babek Moradi, the soccer player. Well, well, well. Yeah, okay, so my mom would be like if someone's name was like Jack Steve.
Yeah.
Because she has a first name as a last name. Anyway, okay, I digress a lot.
Never mind. I'm not going to get into that. Jack.
I was just. I don't. That was a bad example. Jack Steve.
I know. You just said anything. But okay. We talked a little. We just mentioned a film. You mentioned a film, but I don't want to start there. Unfortunately, I want to rewind back in time. I want to talk about how you got into filmmaking and stuff. I'm assuming you're from Toronto. Spoiler alert: the film is called Toronto. But can you tell us about like where you were born and where you grew up and all that jazz?
Yeah. So I was born and raised in Ontario, not Ontario, California, Ontario, Canada. And my parents immigrated here a few years before I was born. They were fleeing Iran after the revolution. They came here as refugees to Canada. I was born here in the early 90s, grew up. Yeah, we moved around a lot growing up, so I can't even really claim one city as my hometown, unfortunately. But yeah, I, from an early age, loved storytelling. I would dictate stories to my sister before I could even read and write, and she would write them for me, and I would draw accompanying photos. When I was a little older, I would make my own toys out of Play-Doh, wait for them to dry, and then make little movies with them.
Oh, heck yeah.
Got a typewriter when I was like 10 and started writing movie scripts on it because I'm like, this is how you write a movie script. And I've seen it in movies. They do it on these typewriters, which is not at all how you actually do it. But 10-year-old me was enthused by the typewriter. Eventually, I went to film school because I didn't have any connections to the industry. Did my thing there, made some short films, made some connections. When I finished, I started working as a assistant editor in reality TV, made my jump to scripted kids television, worked my way up to editing. And while I was doing that, I was doing corporate videos and using that money to fund my own short films, which I then used to leverage to find funding for my feature film, which led to more TV work as a director. So that's where we are.
That's nice. Incredible. Good for you, man. Yeah. Push through. And we, Shireen and I did just watch Toronto.
We did.
Which, it's not out yet, right? It's just in the festival circuit.
Yeah, just festivals right now. What'd you think? Did you like it? Thanks for watching it, by the way. I know
of course.
A big ask to be like, watch my movie.
I mean, It's thank God it was a 90-minute movie. I'll just say that. No, I'm kidding. I do miss when all movies were a little bit more short and digestible like that, though. But it was so, for me, someone that is not Persian, I was like kind of one projecting a little bit because I loved the like little Persian lesson, like the Farsi lessons or like the culture stuff, because like one, it's like similar to mine, but two, there was stuff that I didn't know, like little the meaning of some like pet word or something, not pet word, like a pet name or like whatever those are. Like I didn't know a lot of the things that were explained. And so I loved that part. I loved the cultural lesson. And I love any movie that has subtitles and English, like whether it's like Farsi in this case, or like how Rami like does mm-hmm. both Arabic and English. I just love when a show is able to do that, or a film. So yeah, it was great.
Oh my God. I love Rami so much.
It's yeah. So good. I was literally texting Shireen. I was like, I actually really enjoy this because I don't have to read the subtitles. I can just, I was like, I can just like watch it and not think about having, if I miss something, I'm like, hey, I know what's going on.
Yeah.
I will say I call my, and if you guys don't know, in the movie, the grandmother of the woman, sorry, I'm just like, the heat's killing me. The grandmother of the woman, they call her Mamani, but so I call my dog Mamani.
Oh my God.
So every time they'd say Mamani, I would be like, Mamani. And then my dog would be like, what? And so anyway.
Okay, I've heard you call Ace that. I didn't know it was like a grandma thing.
I know, that's what my pet name from is, Mamani.
Okay.
Because you call your kids, and you know, it's an interesting thing in I mean, I think also in your in Syrian culture, your mom calls you Mama, and you're it's like a strange thing.
That's true.
I never think about it, but you like call your kid Mamani, but you call your mom Mamani, but you call your grandmother Mamani, but your mother also calls you Mama, and you're like, makes no sense.
Yeah.
I have no idea why, too. And I've always wondered that, like, why? Because, like, and it extends beyond mom, too. Like, your dad will call mm-hmm. you dad. And your uncle will call you uncle.
And your grandma. Your,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't even know.
I think the reason for it is that, and I could be totally wrong, but I think it's short form because when you say, for example, like, mom, she responds with like mom's life, which is like, it's like saying like, yes, my life, like, yes, my love, like, yes, my like adored one. Oh. Right. So I think you just drop the life part and then it just remains with, instead of saying yes, mom's life, you just say mom. As like the shortest.
It's just so funny. It's just like this echo chamber that we've accepted. Me and my sisters didn't know how weird it was until my sister started dating her now husband, who is white. But he was at our house for one of the first times, and he was like, "Why is your mom calling you mom? Like, why is your mom calling you mama?" We're just like, "What?" Like, we're just like talking normally. And that's when it hit me how strange it is probably for people that aren't like Middle Eastern, or Becca was just saying that it's also in Latin culture. So it's like, I'm sure there are just some things that are special to certain cultures.
Yeah. My boyfriend always early days, he'd be like, he's not your mom. And I'd be like, you don't get it. Okay. He's Mamani, period.
Oh, also in Indian culture, Trisha says. So it's all like right, so all maybe, the good cultures.
Maybe it's just like European cultures that are the outlier.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I want to talk about something in the movie, but I also don't want to spoil anything. How do you feel if I talk about names, if that's clear enough?
Okay, I think we can do that. I would say like anything up until the scene where Batty goes over for dinner at Sharon's place, I feel like anything up to that point is like fair game to talk about. But like that, like the fallout of that scene, like I would say let's not talk about.
Okay.
No, great. Yeah, I don't want to give away any huge plot device stuff, but you're introduced to a woman character named Sharon, and you see that her parents named her Sharon in the beginning, and you have no reason to think her name isn't Sharon. And my name is Shireen, as you guys know, and when I'm like at a doctor's office or something, or when like someone comes up and like has a paper and says Sharon, I know they're talking about me, even though my name says Shireen. Like, I've been called Sharon a lot of times, and it's made me enraged, but like, I can't express that. So it's all bottled in my inside, and that explains everything about me. But so you later learn that Sharon, her real name is Shireen, and she goes by Sharon to like better acclimate to society. Like, her parents wanted her to do that too. So that was low-key triggering for me. Not in a bad way, just like in a way that's like, I don't know. Yeah.
Shireen was triggered.
I thought it was funny.
I just imagine like the hairs on the back of your neck just like standing up. Visceral reaction.
No, because like, yeah, who's the seed is me? Like, what is your name? Yeah. No, because the seed is like this buildup, like, what's your real name? What's your real name? And then she finally says Shireen, and I was like, huh? Like, oh.
Well, that's a classic thing is everyone thinks you're Persian because you have
Shireen. Yeah. It's a very Persian name. Yeah.
Because you are so Shireen-y.
I know this.
I know you hate that as well. Shireen doesn't like when I say that you're as sweet as sugar.
I don't like that.
Yes, yeah, I know.
I love the Junes that you guys add. I do love like Shireen June, Anna June. I love that. It's so cute to me.
And I think that's one of the things that we didn't translate in the subtitles.
The June?
Is we just like left
it. I don't know
it.
If it is translatable. Yeah.
It's like dearest.
Yeah, dear.
Is like, but it's dear. Like every time you say someone's name, you throw it on it. I'm sure like English speaking people would be like, why are they saying dear every time? This is written so poorly. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like, trust me, that's literally how people talk.
Yeah. No, it is. Well, Anna, what did you think about it as someone who actually is Persian?
It was
not pretend Persian.
I mean, you know, you don't very like the only like Persian films that you watch. It's funny because like I was at first like, whoa, because you don't. They don't make, there are no Persian films really. Like, you actually would have to watch a film, literally from Iran for the most part, you know? Like,
yeah.
At first, I mean,
no rom coms. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, what was that one with Alfred Molina?
Oh, God. Oh, not without God. My daughter.
Where it's like, it starts out, God. You're like, okay. And then it's like, oh, God. It turns so dark so quick. Yeah. You're like, Alfred, no, you're not even Persian. What's going on? And then you have like Sally Field, I think it is, being like, my daughter. And you're like, oh, no. And she's got her hijab on. Like, I don't know. It was a lot. But like, you basically, it's like you just have like Farhadi. Like, he's the only director that's like really putting out even remotely mainstream Persian films, you know?
And even mm-hmm. his stuff is like draws a lot of ire because he makes films within the limits of what the Iranian government say is and is not okay.
Yeah.
And he very much kind of toes the party line in a way. And like, I get why in a sense, because like literally just today, I'm just pulling it up. There were three Iranian directors in Iran who were arrested. Actually, sorry, within the last week. Jafar Panahi, and then who are the other ones? Mohammad Rasulov and Mustafa Ali Ahmad. I probably butchered all three of those names.
Wow. But
all three of them are filmmakers who were all jailed in the last like couple weeks. And again, these are people who probably thought they were towing the party line in a sense, but...
Mm-hmm.
Not enough for the appreciation of the government. And the unfortunate thing with that too is oftentimes festivals, the Iranian movies that they do like to program are the ones that are like, look how depressing Iranian lives are. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas like, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you growing up, you probably laughed, right? You probably smiled a couple times in your life, right?
No comment. No, I'm just joking. Yeah. Yes,
and like and that's never shown, right? Like Iranians are some of the funniest people I've ever met. They're like they're loud, they're boisterous. Like you walk into an Iranian living room,
oh, it's wild.
And there's like 500 million different clashing colors and patterns in there. Mm-hmm. But when you watch these movies, it's like muted tones, it's like gray, and there's like no patterns, nothing. And that's unfortunately the side of who we are that a lot of festivals want to portray, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I also, real quick, shout out to Payam Benefazel, or as you guys might know him, Peter, yeah, I guess he just goes, well, whatever. He makes his Instagram, which, past guest, but his Instagram, one of my favorite parts is when he does these, like, mini sort of vignettes of what Persian films are, and they're so, like, they're spot on, because I grew up watching these, being like, it's like a woman being like, you can't come in! My father will kill you! And the man being like, please, let's get married! And it's like, all this great, and you're just like, that is the film. Or it's like a guy being like, where's my father? And they're like, oh, you're looking for your father? And it's just strange stuff where you're like, why is there no just normal, like, everyday content of what it's like to be, like, I mean, as weird as this, like, why can't we have, like, a Persian mumblecore film? It's like, just be normal for, like, 2 seconds. It's not so, like, you know, like, oh my God, what's gonna happen? Like, they like to portray it.
Yeah. Payam's Instagram is freaking hilarious. I had a general meeting with him a little while ago just to, like, you know, because I like to meet other Iranians that are working in the industry. Mm-hmm. And he's such a great guy. He's so sweet. He's so kind. He was recently in Everything Everywhere All at Once. Yeah, and when I didn't know he was in it. So when he showed up, I was like, oh my God, no way.
Me either. I had the same experience. I was like, what? I was in the theater being like, I know that person.
Yeah. Pound's so the best.
Those videos that you're talking about are spot on. Because, like, you watch those old Persian movies. And it's funny because one of the old Persian movies was one of the references I had, like, making the film. And yeah, like, people are just so cartoony. And it's these voices that they put on that are specific to these Iranian movie characters. Mm-hmm. They, like, you will never meet a real person in real life that actually speaks that way. But it's just like, it's kind of like, you know, the mid-Atlantic accent, like Orson Welles would put it on a lot. Mark Hamill's Joker has that accent. Like, it's this, like, weird made-up accent that's not American and it's not British and it's only ever used in film. So old Iranian cinema has that same thing with, like, specific characters. They, like, put on these weird accents and voices and mannerisms that are just, like, so cartoonish.
Yeah. And they're all also incredibly sad.
Yeah.
They just make them about, like, here is my poor father. He has one pair of shoes. If he loses these shoes, he will not be able to go to work. And then if he cannot go to work, everyone in the family will die. And this is like what I grew up watching, being like, damn, dude.
Yeah. What was that movie called? Children of Heaven? That's like literally the plot of that movie. Yeah. But instead of it being the dad only has one pair of shoes, it's the kids only have one pair of shoes. And they share them between each other.
Yeah, isn't that the actual... What is that one? What was that one called?
Children of Heaven.
It is Children of Heaven. What is that? Yeah. God, I remember my dad making watch that.
The main kid, like, he ends up entering a race.
Yes.
Because the second place wins a pair of sneakers.
That's
right. So he's running in this race and he's training the entire movie to become fast enough so that he can win second place.
Yes.
To win a second pair of shoes so that him and his sister don't have to share shoes anymore.
Yes. Wow. It's all coming back to me.
And he unfortunately wins first place. So he doesn't win the pair of shoes and everyone's like congratulating him. And this kid's like crying.
He's upset. Yeah. He's crying. That's right. This is Persian cinema. Wow. Yeah. It doesn't even work out for him in the end.
No, so that sounds like a traumatic story and also a traumatic watch, unfortunately.
Oh, I watched that when I was young. I was like, this is all we got? Like, this is it? My dad's like, shut up and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk about, I mean, I'm assuming I know why now you decided to make a fun little rom-com. But before I assume, let's take our first little break. We'll be right back. BRB.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
And we're back. Yes, as I teased before I took that break, is that why, Farhan, like, you wanted to make a more colorful, like, not, like, miserable film?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was something that I noticed as I was watching more and more Iranian cinema, and I was moving into the city, because I was living just outside of Toronto. But when I moved into the city, I started connecting with more and more Iranians. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, did you see this Iranian movie where blah, 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 blah? And then a lot of these Iranians were like, no. I'm like, what do you mean no? This is like nominated for an Oscar. It's probably going to win, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, no, like a lot of our lives are already hard and depressing. We don't need to watch more depressing movies. Mm-hmm. And that like hit me pretty hard, because I thought back, I was like, well, yeah, my parents have had really hard times as well. Like, if they're going to have an hour and a half to sit down and watch something that's about them, like, do they really want to cry more, or do they want to, mm-hmm. you know, laugh a little bit? And so I was like, okay, well, how do I tell a story that's a little more uplifting? It's a little more positive, without like inversely being insulting to right. the struggles that a lot of Iranians go through, right? So I tried to figure out, okay, well, on the regular, I probably laugh more than I cry. And to be clear, like, I grew up in poverty, like, as a kid. Not like living on the streets poverty, but like on your tax forms, like, we would qualify and like, okay, these people are like categorically living in poverty. Mm-hmm. But I grew up having a great relationship with my parents. You know, we would laugh, we would play games as a family, we would eat dinner together as a family, and my parents would tell us stories about their childhood. They would make us laugh. My sisters and I, we would like play with our friends, like a very like normal, like happy family life, right? Despite hardships and despite the fact that my parents both came to Canada as refugees. You know, mm-hmm. they left Iran as Baha'is. A lot of their relatives were executed. They were tortured. They lost their jobs because they were Baha'i. My sisters were both like born into a country at war and mm-hmm. were raised in that. So came here and then had to deal with tons of racism here. But despite all of these traumatic events throughout their lives, we still had a pretty positive family life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wanted to tell a story that showed the positive aspects of Iranian culture and Iranian identity with jokes and love and music and family, while also commenting on, okay, well, why are these people here to begin with? What are the hardships that led to them being here? And what hardships do they also face in their lives here?
Right. Which makes sense. I mean, actually, you know, when I don't know what I was expecting, to be honest. When we started watching the film, because I didn't know if it was going to go in the direction of like classic Iranian cinema, or if it was going to, you know, be a little bit more modern. You never know. You know, you don't assume that like some Persian filmmaker, just because they're like around your age, that they will like, you know, you don't want to assume what kind of art people are making. But like when there is a moment when the two main characters connect and they kiss, I literally was like, oh, shit. They just kissed. Yeah. He just showed them kiss. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, like, that's crazy that I'm even like so like shocked by that. Because I was just like, wow, you can show that? Even though I'm like, it's what, he's Canadian, is
he? Lives. I got comments for, there's a scene where the two of them are just like lying on a bed.
I was shocked by that. Fully clothed. Well. I was shocked
fully
by
clothed,
that.
Fully clothed. Right? Yeah. Fully clothed, lying on a bed, not under the sheets, like just like reading something on a phone. And I had people comment on it, be like, wow, so like, what was your thought process behind that? Like, it's so intimate, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, so
I'm like, yeah, it's but it's not like HBO intimate, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I was like, well, okay.
And if Anna was thinking that, like, that's just like, it shows how, I don't know, like, It's a but subconscious it's just because, that is, like, you know? I would feel the same way.
Any Persian film, like, you're so, like, you're almost kind of like, you don't know anything that's too out of the ordinary. You're like, whoa. Because you're true, like, the Farhadi, mm-hmm. like, even, like, a separation, you're like, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. But, yeah, I get it, you know? I mean, yeah. a separation is literally pretty crazy in Iran, but, like, at the same time, it stayed in the confines of, like, what you would expect in, like, a film by an Iranian director. Yeah. You, like, knew it's like, okay, that's wild, a divorce, oh my god. But, like, at the same time, you're like, but it's not that crazy because it's, like, everything that happened in that film was, like, pretty, like, he wasn't pushing any buttons outside of, like, two people deciding not to be together anymore. But, like, with that, you're like, two people laying in a bed, even if they're clothed, I was like, incredible. This is wild.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, is this implying XYZ? And I was just like, if these were two white people, I wouldn't even blink. You know what I mean? Like, why? Yeah. It's just, yeah. But that's, I mean, I know, I'm a filmmaker and, like, I think personal stuff seeps in whether you like it or not. But, like, it makes sense why Batty's character has that religious background now. And everything, because it felt really personal when I was watching it. Did, like, leading up to making this, I feel like every filmmaker has, like, one or two chances to have, like, a successful fundraising campaign. You know what I mean? So why did you decide this to be the story to invest in? Like, why did you decide, like, yeah, like I don't know. It's just, it's a lot to make a film. So what made you commit to this storyline?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, there's maybe six or seven other feature films that I have, like, outlined in my drawer, right? So mm-hmm. I think, and just for context, the last few shorts that I made, they're much more dark and somber and serious, and, like, much more like natural light. Think like Terrence Malick, Derek Cian France, like, that's the type of movies mm-hmm. that I like to make. But I realized that our people needed a win, you know, mm-hmm. we needed, and when I say a win, I don't mean accolades, because we've gotten plenty of Iranian films get accolades. I meant emotionally, like, we needed a film that showed who we were from an emotional point of view, very sincerely and in an authentic voice. And so that's what I tried to do. And the movie, as you watch it, it starts out like a rom-com, but about halfway through the movie, it really turns into a story that's kind of about two people finding themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's
yeah, it does.
It starts off like a rom-com and it kind of turns into a little bit more of like a realistic drama. And that's kind of what I wanted to do, was take this drama, right, that's about these two characters who are coming to terms with their identities, and packaging it like a rom-com, because, you know, rom-coms are very very marketable, and they're open to the most mainstream genre that you could tell, maybe aside from, like, superhero movies now.
Yeah.
But
right,
yeah, and to that, it was all about, have you heard of this thing called double consciousness?
No, please explain.
So W.E.B. Du Bois talks about it, and it's this phenomenon that originally, when he's talking about it, he's talking about Black people living in the Americas. And since then, a lot of psychologists and anthropologists have commented on how this is a common trait with a lot of diasporic communities. But it's this idea that, for example, Black people at the time that he was writing this felt both American and African, but they also felt like they were neither African nor American.
Mm.
And it's mm-hmm. it's a phenomenon that's true with a lot of diasporic communities, where when I was growing up, I also felt like I was both Canadian and Iranian, but then I also felt like neither one, because I would feel like I was a Canadian.
Yeah. I didn't know there was a name for that.
Oh yeah. Double consciousness.
I mean, not obviously. Like, I've definitely felt that. And I feel like a lot of, children of immigrants or diaspora populations and stuff, that makes so much sense. I'm glad I know that term now. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sorry to interrupt. I'm just like, yay.
No, it's all good.
I have a word for that now.
So it was, for me, it was about telling this movie that explores double consciousness from two points of view. One from someone who's a little bit more Iranian and who hates his Canadian side, and someone who's more Canadian mm-hmm. and resents her Iranian side, and how they kind of come to terms with that double consciousness.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely on display in the film. There's kind of like this interesting pull, because I think I was more raised in the middle, in the sense that I always never felt like I fit in. But also at the same time, it's not like my parents were like, my dad does that thing where he's like, well, growing up, he doesn't really do it as much anymore just because he's older and doesn't care. But once he retired, didn't give a shit about us, but about what we were up to. But like the whole thing of like, growing up, he'd be like, you have become so Americanized. And I'd be like, well, I don't know what to tell you. We live in America. What did you think was going to happen? I would just like sit in the living room on the ground for the rest of my life and never experience any sort of American culture. Like, it is what it is. But, and then at the same time, you're like, really? You think I'm Americanized? You should see how kids treat me at school. That's not really, I don't think everyone's seeing it like you are, okay? And it's, you're like in a constant push and pull. We're like, I never like hated Iran, but I also never hated America. I was always just kind of like, I mean, I just wish people would stop treating me differently, you know? Yeah. Like, even when I go to Iran and everyone's like, oh my God, that's so cute. Your Farsi has an American accent. And you're like, okay. And are we not communicating?
Yeah.
You can understand me. I can understand you. So like, what's the point of me being like, oh my God, your Farsi is so Iranian. It's like so strange. I'm like, let's just not talk about it. Yeah, let's just exist. Yeah. But there's, you know, double consciousness. Now we know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think because of that, like people from different communities and different diasporas can relate to the film, because it, I'm hoping that it's like a universal thing. It seems like it is.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, doing this podcast, we've had people from like so many different ethnicities and backgrounds and everything, and like at the end of the day, it's like there is this overarching connection and similarity as far as feeling like, I always describe it as like, I just always felt like I was floating. I never like landed anywhere. I just felt like I was floating and didn't really have a place to like call a home or whatever. And I feel like so many people relate to that like double consciousness feeling. So yeah, it's definitely something that I think is relatable and will resonate with audiences, I'm sure. Yeah.
I think it will. Especially the, I mean, the classic. Now, I don't know if you experienced this, but like, I mean, maybe you have because it's literally your film. But the like parents being like, go get a fucking practical degree. Like, stop thinking you can be an artist.
Oh, now, definitely.
I'm curious, like, how much of that is based on your own life?
I mean, a little bit. I definitely took different aspects of my own life and like gave half of them to Batty, the male lead, half of them to Sharon, the female lead. And then I like kind of gave each one the opposite. So for example, I was born in Canada. So Sharon's born in Canada. As a result, Batty immigrated here.
Mm-hmm.
I love Iranian history. So Batty loves Iranian history. Mm-hmm. So as a result, Sharon has to not care at all about Iranian culture and history. And then I'm an artist. Sharon's an artist. Batty is pursuing his medical degree, right? So
yeah,
that part of her is definitely inspired by me a little bit, but my parents were pretty supportive.
Well,
for the most part.
I gotta leave the recording now. No, I'm just kidding. that's so I love that for you. It's rare to hear that response, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I mean, here's the thing, like my parents, right away my mom was like, I don't care what you study as long as you're good at it and you go to university. I did not go to university. I went to college. And I know in the States, college and university is used kind of interchangeably. In Canada, college is like community college, I guess. But the thing is, we also have community colleges. It's more like this. Our universities are your Ivy League schools. And then our colleges are like your other colleges in the States.
Interesting.
And then you have community colleges. We have community college. So my parents are like nothing less than an Ivy League school, basically.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so when I was like, well, I'm going to this college, Sheridan College, my mom was like, I don't know, maybe. And so I had to do a little bit of convincing there. And like, and she started hearing she would tell people, she'd be like, yeah, I don't know, Farhan got into the school, but I don't know. And then they'd be like, oh my God, that's like in a really good school. And she'd be like, really? And so that happened enough times that eventually she's like, okay. She's like super proud of it. And with my dad, he didn't say anything. He didn't outright say that he was disappointed or upset or whatever that I was pursuing art. But he, I could tell, you know, like, you know, your parents, So I remember at one point I was out on a drive with my dad, and I went to go ask him a bunch of questions. I was like, okay, I'm going to try to inception this man right now. He's like, so I need to be careful how I ask these questions to get the answers that I know I need. So I was like, hey, dad, when you were younger, was there like a dream job that you had? And he's like, yeah, I wanted to be a pilot. And I'm like, do you ever think back on what life would have been like if you were a pilot? And he's like, oh yeah, all the time. Like I picture myself soaring over the clouds and like seeing the mountains at a distance and the beautiful landscapes and the sunset over the horizon. He's like painting this like beautiful photo for himself, mm-hmm. and he's smiling while he's doing it. And I was like, and so why couldn't you do that? He's like, well, they told me because I had glasses that I wouldn't be allowed to be a pilot. And I was like, whoa. So, yeah. And I was like, so you couldn't pursue your dream job because other people didn't let you, and you still think of that to this day. He's like, yeah. I was like, I don't want filmmaking to be for me what being a pilot was for you.
That's
and he started laughing. And then he's like, all right, okay, fine. All right, I got you. All right, do your thing. And so I had the, like, fast forward a few years, and I had the pleasure of actually casting my father in the film.
Oh.
And yeah, he plays
Who's your father?
He plays Batty's dad.
Oh, that's your dad. Wow. That's so nice.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. And so like the footage of Batty's dad when he's younger is like all the Super 8 footage that I had of my dad and of my family that I kind of wrote into the film.
That's great.
Yeah. So
I love that.
Yeah. So
how did he feel about being directed by you?
Oh, he was like, I don't know what he thought, but then when he got on set and he saw how many people there were, and he's like, he asked me quietly, he's like, wait, so like all these people listen to you? I was like, well yeah, like I'm the director, so I have to direct people. And then he's like, wow, okay. And then wow. I was like, ideally, like I'm collaborating with these people, but yeah. And then when he was doing his scenes, I remember there's a scene where Batty has invited Sharon over for dinner, and it's Sharon's first time meeting Batty's family. And there's like mm-hmm. a side conversation between Batty's dad, played by my father, and Batty. And he's like, hey, what's the deal with your school? Like, what's going on? Why aren't you talking to us? Blah, 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 blah. Like, what's the update? But when my dad first did the scene, he's like, so my dearest son, tell me, how is school? And I was like, no. Like, that's not who you are. That's not who this guy is. Like, think of this like it's me. I'm screwing around. I'm not doing my work. Like, talk to him like you would talk to me. And then he's like, okay. So then he did one more take, and he's like, hey, man, what the hell's going on with this? You know what I mean? Like the Persian equivalent of that. It's like, bro, we're like waiting on you. Like, we're getting old. We need you to get your shit together.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah. I'm sorry, man. And then the dad's like, all right, fine, whatever.
Yeah, that's funny.
Hey, what the fuck, man?
I love that he was in that film.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I love that. That's very endearing and lovely. I don't know. I love that.
That's cool. It didn't seem like he was acting.
I love that you're...
Yeah, that's
good. Yeah, it seemed very natural.
He's a good actor.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take our second break really quick before I forget. BRB.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
And we're back. All right. Okay. I have a question for you. So I love that your dad was in the film. But first, what college did you end up going to? Did you say?
Sheridan College.
Sheridan. That's a good school. Yeah. I don't know anything about.
Yeah, it's a very good school. They're especially renowned for their animation. A lot of Pixar animators and directors came from that school. Canadian directors and producers and cinematographers came out of that school as well.
Okay, cool, nice. So your mom, she heard the good news.
Yeah,
the good word on this school. I'm curious, where did your parents immigrate from in Iran?
So my dad is from Hamadan. And my mom is from Mazandaran. In the film, actually, Badi's parents, his dad is from Lalejin, which is a small village outside of Hamadan, which is where my dad's from. And then Badi's mom is from a small area, is from like a farm, like rice fields and stuff in Mazandaran, the province that my mom's from. So both of those are, I guess, reflected. Both of those family roots are reflected there.
That's cool.
And oh my God, there's like a rice field that we shot in for like a one single shot at the beginning of the movie. And by pure luck, I was like, how the hell am I going to get this shot in a rice field? Like, what am I going to do? And so I found there's this one rice field in almost all of Canada. And it was like an hour away from my parents' place. And so we were able to like go out there and shoot it. And it was only their second year of having it. So by pure fluke, yeah. And if you've never been to a rice field.
Destiny,
yeah. If you've never been to a rice field, like when you step into the rice paddy, like you get this overwhelming smell of rice, but it's not that starchy smell that you get out of the bag. It's like this weird fresh smell. It's like very fresh and it fills your lungs and it feels very clean and everything. But you also get that hint of rice. It's weird. Like, it does things to you.
Wow.
That's cool.
I gotta go to a rice field.
So how did your parents meet, if you know?
So funny story. My mom's eldest brother was set up on a date, or not date, but like was set up to get married with my dad's cousin.
Okay.
So my mom's eldest brother, my dad's cousin. And they were set up because my dad's great aunt and my mom's great aunt were very good friends. So they're like, hey,
interesting.
You have a nephew, I have a niece, let's hook them up, right? Mm-hmm. Boom, they hooked them up, they got married. At that wedding, the eldest sister of the groom and the cousin of the bride met and they got married.
Oh,
that's still not my parents.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, okay.
Through that marriage, the sister of the bride and the sister of the groom became best friends.
Okay.
So that's my mom and my dad's little sister.
Whoa.
And because they were constantly hanging out together, my dad, like, you know, saw my mom, fell for my mom, all this stuff. They wrote each other like love letters and all this stuff. And then the two of them got married.
Whoa. Wait, how far were their regions from each other?
Pretty far.
Yeah,
pretty far. So they had to like, he was like writing her letters, or they would see each other at family reunions and stuff. Because at that point, it's like, yeah, there's two weddings and then two best friends. So like they're constantly going to be seeing each other. Plus their great aunt, their aunts on both sides were like really good friends. So they would see each other. So through that, they eventually met and got married.
It's like five weddings with separation or whatever. And it's not degrees, it's weddings.
It's
funny to me. Yeah.
But it's like, I love the idea that it's like this one family met this other family and they're like, hey, we have a bunch of single kids. You guys have a bunch of single kids. Let's just pair them up.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how it goes, right? But that's interesting that they were in true. Such different... Wait, it was Mazandaran like near Shomal?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so up in where Shomal... Okay, or excuse me, Caspian Sea.
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of...
Wait, is that what you call the Caspian Sea?
They call it Shomal. Sorry. I mean, I don't know. I
guess. Shomal just means north.
It's just like north of Tehran.
Shmad. It's interesting. A lot of Persian words are just like Arabic words. Like, even in the film, like at the end of sentences, I was like, I know what that means. But so much that I'm like, what? Yeah. But it's really interesting, the words that are the same. Anyway, just tangent. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's far to go. And to also, like, set up your kids... So from two different regions that's work. Yeah.
And like not even the same language is ready. Cause in the town that my dad was from, they speak Azeri, which is
They're Turk.
Like, yeah, they're Turk. Right. And then my mom's province, they speak Mazandarani. So it's like two totally different languages, but.
Whoa. Different languages or different dialects? Like a completely different language?
Different languages. Like, especially like Azeri is like, it's Turk.
Yeah.
And it's a dialect of Turkish. Your dad is Azeri.
Yeah. Yes, my dad's Azeri. Your dad is Azeri. My dad's from Urumiye, so he's Azeri as well. But yeah, it's like a dialect of Turkish. It's more similar to actual Turkish.
That's why you wanted to learn Turkish. Yeah. Yes.
And funny enough, like... Persian Turkish or Iranian Turkish is actually closer to original Turkish than Turkish from Turkey. Because Turkish from Turkey is also mixed in with like Lydian and like Greek and all these other things.
Whoa.
But Azeri Turkish from like Iran and Azerbaijan and stuff is like less mixed in with those languages. Because it's like it's an earlier stop in the migration of the original Turks that came out from what is like modern day Mongolia.
Wow. History is fascinating.
Isn't it crazy? Everyone just, in Iran, every region kind of speaks their own sort of.
Yeah.
Because like my mom's from Tehran and just speaks like Farsi.
Yeah.
But like Shomal is like 2 or 3 hours north of Tehran and they speak.
Yeah. Totally different languages.
Pretty
wild.
That's boggles my mind. We have similar things in Arab countries. Like every country has its own dialect that kind of like for us it sounds completely different. But even like in like my mom is from Hama, my dad is from Damascus, and that's like 2 hours away, 2.5 hours away, and they have words that my dad doesn't even know. Like that blows my mind. It's like here in San Diego, if it's like I can't wrap my head around that. Heather is like it's completely different. I don't know. It's really interesting.
Well, I guess because part of it too is like they would have originally been totally different countries with different languages. And then the Arabs like rolled through and they're like, all right, everybody's speaking this. And so some of them like hung on to like their favorite slang words.
It is an interesting mishmash. Like Urdu, this is very similar to Farsi.
Yeah.
And then like, but then like, there's actual the country of Azerbaijan right above the Azerbaijan region of Iran.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Well, also, I want to add a little addendum in there before like anyone in your socials like hits me up on Twitter or whatever. I'm very well aware of the fact that Iran, like Persians did the same thing in Iran that Arabs did in like a lot of West Asia.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh yeah,
I wasn't gonna say anything.
Because even Iran had like hundreds of different languages.
Yeah,
and then the Persians went through all of Iran, and they're like, "All right, everybody's speaking Persian."
Yeah, and they're like, "The nerve of you to be Kurdish!" Like, it's like all they are so fucked up.
Yeah,
you're like even the Armenians who ended up in Iran after the genocide all had to basically speak Farsi. Like, we have family friends who my dad grew up with who are Armenian, but they like.
You know, like we have a family friend in Orange County who grew up with my dad and she speaks Azeri but is Armenian. But they were like, but then you also have to speak Farsi. So you're technically growing up in Urumia, but you better fucking learn Farsi.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, but they don't even speak Farsi here. And they're like, well,
that's so.
It's the exact confusing. Same thing with like my mom's family. They're all from Mazandaran. They speak Mazandarani, but then they like have to learn Persian because it's like that's what they speak in school.
And they learn it like as if we would learn Spanish in school. Mm-hmm. Or you can be like my aunt who never went to school, or she like went to school but always skipped Farsi class and does not speak Farsi to this day, only speaks Azeri, like refuses to speak Farsi. I love it. And you're like, she just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. And then you've got like Lori, you've got Rashkai, you've got like so many different dialects.
Yeah, we're still north. We haven't even gone south.
Yeah. That's why I hate when you meet someone who's like, where are you from? They're like, oh, I'm Persian. It's like, yeah, where's your family from? They're like, Tehran. They're like, you're not Persian. You're like,
come on.
You're Median. Your background's Median. Get out of here. It's like, oh, my mom's from Sari. It's like, you're Mazandarani. You're not Persian. Unless you're from like Shiraz and like the surrounding area, you can't claim to be Persian. You're Iranian. Yeah. It's like, that's what you are if you're worried about people thinking about Not Without My Daughter or House of Sand and Fog. Tough luck. Take it up with Hollywood.
Right. House of Sand and Fog. God damn. Yeah, that's true. My mom is actually originally Shirazi, but her family settled in Tehran. I am literally half Turk and half Persian, bitches. Okay. All right,
you can take it. You can take the claim.
Yeah.
Sorry. What were you going to say, Shireen?
No, I was getting confused because you said there's a difference between being Persian and Iranian. And that's like what confused me for a moment. Can you explain that without confusing me more?
Yeah. So think of it like this. Californian is like being Persian because Pars is a province.
Okay.
So if you're Parsi or Fars or Farsi, like they're used interchangeably, it's because you're from that province.
Right? So it's geographical.
Yeah, it's geographical. So it would be like if you were from New York and you went to France and you're like, yeah, I'm basically Californian. It's like, you're not Californian. You're from New York. You know what I mean?
Okay. So
either call yourself a New Yorker or call yourself an American. Don't call yourself Californian. That's not what you are.
Right.
But like Persian has this like international like mystique to it, right? Where people are like, oh, wow, he's Persian. Wow, we are Persian.
Well,
it's very, very mysterious.
I have my own gripe about that that Anna already knows about because my name is Persian. People think I'm Persian. Like other Persians will be like, you're Persian. And I'll tell them I'm Arab. And then they're like disappointed. And they hate, from my experience, the reverse. Every Persian I've met is offended if they think you're calling them an Arab. And that's always bothered me. Because I don't care that you think I'm Persian. But I do notice there's like this little, not a hierarchy. It's also not everybody. Just like certain people I've met probably. But I have noticed that about like Farsi in particular, Persian culture in particular, being a little bit more like, like mystical than other Middle Eastern stuff.
Oh, and the irony of that too, being that a lot of Iranians have Arab names. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, here's like Arab. Here's one Arab with
Arab
a Persian name.
And Arab words. Yeah.
But I will say the reason that we have so many Arab names and Arab words is also because there was a history of, you know, Arab occupation being like, all right, guys, you guys are a caliphate of ours. Y'all got to learn Arabic. Until they were like, all right, your poetry is pretty solid. You guys can keep practicing poetry. And that's why there's still like Persian spoken to this day is because of poetry. Because poetry was like the only legal form of Persian or Farsi that was allowed. And that's also why a lot of Iranians are like have this weird like hatred for anything Arab is because they're like, do you know the history of what? It's like, yeah, it was like 1,000 years ago, bro. Like,
yeah,
get over
matter.
It.
Right. Yeah.
Like, do you know the history of like of Americans and Canadians like occupying indigenous land right now? Like,
we didn't even really get into the poetry part of the film because I love poetry. I write poetry. And poetry is a big part of Arab culture too, but the main character, or one of the main characters, also loves poetry. Was that a reflection of your personal life as well, incorporating that into the film, or was that, explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so that was definitely a peek into my personal life. Especially, I think there was a period of my life where I was learning more and more about what was going on in the world. And I was becoming like an angry 20-year-old, being like you learn a little bit about what's going on in the world and you're like, I know what's going on. I know what's right and wrong. Like, everybody's an asshole. Yeah. Blah, blah. And like, poetry was something that helped me kind of harness some of those emotions and write about it. And, you know, it helped me focus in on some of that. And I think that that's similar for Batty's characters. He's at a point in his life where he is very angry and he's for the first time reflecting on a lot of these things that are happening in Iran, things that are happening here. And he's just like constantly yelling and complaining about everything. And he doesn't do anything about it, whether it be like stepping up to help his own community or it be like even just the bare minimum of reflecting inward and having some kind of therapeutic outlet. So once he finally does decide to take a look in, it's through poetry, right? And on top of it being a reflection of me, I mean, poetry is very important and very rich in a lot of West Asian cultures, right? Whether it be across the Arab communities or across Iran, and even in Pakistan and India, like poetry is really big. So I always found it ironic how you have these men from so many West Asian and South Asian communities and cultures that are like, oh, we don't do emotions. Emotions are for like children and women and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, bro, like we have thousands of years of poetry that you're constantly memorizing and reflecting on, and you're like, wow, look at how great our culture is.
They find a way to compartmentalize that of like, no, it's just like art, it's different. It's like they find a way, you're like singing words. Like, what's more emotionful than that? And they're like, no. You're like, well, you're talking about a man who was like, and you know, my favorite part is I will be like, well, everyone loves Rumi. I remember yelling that when I was a kid, and my dad would be like, he was a drunk dying in the streets. And I'm like, then why do you guys celebrate him so much? And then they get all like flustered. But, and like, fuck off.
If I can just make one comment on the Rumi thing, I love when people, and usually it's like non-Iranians, they'll like post Rumi on their Twitter or their Instagram.
100%. All the time.
Have you ever been to a white blonde woman's wedding and seen a Rumi quote on her like invitation? Yeah. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, bro, he's not talking about someone he's in love with. He's talking about either A, God, or B, his teacher. It's one or the other. So your pick. It's not about your fiance.
Rumi quotes are the most overdone quotes. I have to tell him, like, I don't even know if he said that.
I don't know how that happened.
I don't know where this came. Is this really a Rumi quote?
Yeah.
I don't know how Americans or white people decided it was Rumi that they would appropriate. You know what I mean? Like, it was a very, I think, honestly, I just realized it's the name. It's an easy name for them. And it sounds just, you know what I mean? It's just Rumi. Anyways.
But even in Persian, like, if you say Rumi, people are like, who? You have to be like, oh, sorry, Molana, and then they're like, okay.
Interesting. Wow.
I mean, he's ranked like number 3 or 4 in terms of most famous.
That's so interesting.
He's just the most like,
white people don't know anything.
I don't know. Like, I guess, I don't know. I don't even know what made him so popular in America.
I don't know.
It was one white person posted something somewhere and it just got out of hand. Probably it has to start with one person.
I mean, like,
yeah.
What about like, but Ferdowsi? Hafez. Yeah,
Ferdowsi's probably our number one. And then probably Hafez. And then it's probably Sadi. And then maybe it's Molana.
Sadi Shirazi.
Wow.
You know,
Anna,
what's
you're
going
to have to. You're going to have to make me a list, Anna. But I do think there's a whole dissertation here about
I don't need to list off no Persian poets my whole life that
I want to know some.
Just Google it.
But anyways, I do think there's like a whole thing about like bottling up your emotions and like overflowing them in poetry. I definitely relate to that. But wait,
last thing. what is the one? Ganjavi. You know Ganjavi? I love
no.
that. Oh, Ganjavi is the one that, like, here's the thing. I don't even know if Persian poets are like the older Persian poets right. from like the 10th century. I don't even know. It's so long ago. I don't know if they're real people. There's like such a vibe where I'm like, I can't like Hafez, like there's so much lore around it all that I think I've lost the ability to know what's real and what's not real when it comes to like the like legendary Persian poets.
Oh yeah. Cause there's like mythology behind the poets themselves.
You're just like, I don't get it anymore.
It's like, yeah, this guy wrote this thing and he was supposed to get this many pieces of gold. And then the king refused, but then the king read it and he was crying. And then when he decided to go and pay him, he got there and there was a funeral and he's like, whose funeral is this? And they're like, the poet you were supposed to pay. And then everyone's like crying and hitting themselves. And they're like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's just, you're like, what is this? It's so surreal. And it really makes me think of like stories my parents tell me. Well, not so much my mom. My mom's more of like a realist and isn't like bullshitting me. But there's like stories my dad tells where I'm like, what? And I don't know if it's real or not. I'm like, what? I mean, that also goes back to Peter Bonifazl's Instagram where like he does like the perfect dad impressions of like one time a crow stole all my socks. It's like stuff like that where you're like, that's real. They will say shit like that. And you're like, what? And he's like, it's true. And you're like, is it?
Like, and it's like what? In the middle of something. You're like trying to tell them how you almost got hit by a car and they're like, you know, that reminds me. It's like, I'm not done my story, bro. Like, what's like, happening here?
That's the same. It's the same vibe, like culturally, how they were raised of like this, the stories behind these poets is like that. That is just the way they do it culturally. It's like they have these incredible stories. Like my dad's always telling me the story of when a bull attacked him when he was a child. And I'm like, a bull attacked you? You'd be dead. And he's like, no, no, I survived. And you're like, I'm going to need some, you know, citations.
Yeah. Like I've heard stories of family members, like one guy apparently like wrestled a stag with like his bare hands on like a knife. It's like another guy like wrestled a jaguar. Wow. Like someone became friends with a bear. Like these aren't exaggerations. I'm not making these things.
They really
these
are say things shit that, like that.
Like, yeah, I've been told like, oh, you know, my great uncle, he like did this thing. And you're like,
yeah.
Did he though? I mean, I believe you, but I don't know.
Yeah. To this day, my dad likes to say his father died of a broken heart. And I'm like, that's just really not real.
That's actually possible. I found this out recently from a buddy of mine who's a doctor. He's like, yeah, these are the different kinds of heart attacks and heart diseases you can get. And he's like, oh, actually, funny enough, you know, in Star Wars, I was like, shut up, you're lying. He's like, yeah, you know, Padme died from a broken heart. It's a real thing. It's called, and then he said some like really big medical term, but apparently it's legit.
Wow.
I believe that's legit, but I don't think that's what my dad's talking about. I don't think my dad's being like, it was a real medical condition. I think he's just being like, emotionally, he was like really drained. And so he died. Cause like, he like lost some land in a bad deal. And I'm like, you should take a genetics test.
Oh God. My favorite is when you're like, and they're like, how did this person die? They're like, oh, he had a headache. Like, what do you mean he had a headache? They're like, yeah, he died of a headache. It's like, that's not a thing. Or they'll be like, yeah, he had a chest cold. It's like, what's a chest cold? Like, yeah, you know, like your muscles, they get a cold.
And they die.
Yeah, like that. Just fall over. It's like, these aren't things.
I'm like trying to get my dad to do one of those 23andMe medical health things. Cause I'm like, I don't believe anything you're saying. We need to know if there's actually genetic issues that we need to be worried about. And my dad's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. He just was stressed. So he died.
What's the thing Pam says? I eat pomegranates.
Yeah. Eat a pomegranate.
Yeah. It's okay. It's not okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, you guys got to try it. Try a Persian parent on for size. It's a wild ride.
Yeah. I don't have anything to add to that. That was a very Persian-centered talk. I have nothing to add. But
you guys have pomegranates in Syria.
Oh, I don't want to say we invented the pomegranate. I'll just keep it. I'll keep my thoughts.
You don't eat pomegranates like cereal?
We have a whole pomegranate grove in my grandparents' house. Trust me. It's life force.
We have that in my parents' backyard right now. Literally, we eat pomegranates like it's cereal. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I have a pomegranate tree just off camera. I'm not joking. Like, literally in my apartment.
It's essential. Yeah. I've thought about getting a pomegranate tattoo. It's fucking art.
Oh, that's genius.
Oh, it's so good.
I know, right? But the only thing is the scent, like when you cut a pomegranate, the actual like black and white version of that might, it's like kind of the, that like phobia of like, you know, like how a sponge looks like with all the little holes and stuff.
Oh, it yeah, kind yeah. Some of people looks have like that phobia of honeycombs.
Yeah, so
and stuff.
I would get the whole pomegranate for a tattoo, just personally.
Yeah, yeah, don't yeah. do the cut open yeah. pomegranate. It ain't cute.
Like a like a medieval French grenade.
Yeah, a weird lump.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. That's a great note to end on. Yeah. Thank you, Farhan. Where can people find you on the internet? Where can they stay tuned when the when Toronto eventually comes out? Tell us all the good stuff. Plug your shit.
So, I'm on Instagram at Farhan Media. So, Farhan Media, Media. Yeah, that's right. 10 out of 10. Can you tell I'm a writer? And I also have Twitter. It's just Farhan Moradi on Twitter. I'm not as active on there. But if you want to follow details about the film, the best place to follow would be Toronto Film on Instagram. And we are, our next screening is going to be in Toronto on the 23rd. I don't know if the podcast will be out before then, but then the next one after that will
July?
Be yeah, July 23rd.
So 2 days.
No, sorry. That's in 2 days, man.
I don't know how fast you guys work. I don't know if you outsource this fair, to Australia that's fair, that's so fair. That they can work overnight.
That's fair, sorry.
Smart, we should do that.
And then I know. The next reading, well, what about August? Is August like 17th and 19th?
Yes, that's more doable.
There
that's
we go.
Doable. Thank you.
August 17th and 19th, it'll be playing in San Jose at the Cinequest Film Festival.
Hell yeah.
And amazing. Yeah.
So if you're in Canada, there will also be a theatrical distribution in November. And we're working on securing a deal for theaters in the US. And after that, it'll be on your regular streaming platforms.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait for people to see this movie. It's so needed, as we've discussed, but thank you again for making time for us today. And yeah, I'm gonna wrap us out of here without further ado. Are you guys ready for that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much okay. for having me, by the way.
Of course,
anytime.
Thanks for allowing us to watch your film.
Yeah, seriously, like we have a VIP access.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
But we won't share it. That's a special secret for us. But this is Ethnically Ambiguous. This is Ethnically Amb, A-M-B on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, A-M-B-I-G on Instagram. I am Shireen. It's Shirohiro on Instagram, Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
And I'm at Anna Jose on Twitter, and I'm at Anna... Wait, nope.
Selling Hosnier.
I'm at Selling Hosnier on Instagram. Wow. Can you believe I still exist?
Hey, it's the end of the pod. You made it. Anyway, bye.
Bye. Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency.
Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Thursday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.